15. Our reading takes place 4,000 years ago. Abram, who was later known as Abraham, had just fought some local warlords and rescued his nephew Lot and his family from being kidnapped. He had become a wealthy man, but something profound was missing. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him. "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu, atuwaroa ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mau tonu tāna, kupu kia tātou. Our second reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoe miti te karoria ke te atua. Priorities and living intentionally. Advice from the Master to his disciples. That's us. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. So, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēnei atakaraiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe me te tia ia, te kupu mana.
Fantastic, thank you. Well, as Robert has pointed out, I've got 4,000 years of scripture and church history to get through, so we better get cracking because I've got 15 minutes. So, yeah, brilliant. Hey, we sort of jump a little bit into, as you might have picked up from Robert, we jump a little bit into the middle of Abram's story with God. So I want to backtrack just a little bit so you kind of get a bit of the fuller picture. So we're going to flip back to Genesis chapter 12, the call of Abram. And the story of God and Abram starts like this. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham and his family left as the Lord told him. So essentially what's happening here is that Abraham has been asked to step out of his comfort zone, the place that he knows, his country, his people, his, around his extended family, all that sort of thing, and journey to a place that God is going to show him, which is very unspecific instructions and unhelpful from God. But there it is. If you Google a place that I will show you into Google Maps, you will get lost. But that's what he's been asked to do. And he decides that, yeah, okay, I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to step out in faith because I feel like there's this promise from God that will be fulfilled as I do so, that I will be blessed, that I will be made into a great nation, and that through that, all the nations will be blessed, which is a pretty amazing promise. So Abram sets out in faith and trusts God and heads off on this journey to parts as yet unknown. I'm going to skim, because as I say, I've only got 15 minutes to cover all this church history and scripture. I'm going to skim through chapters, the rest of chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. Robert gave us a little bit of an insight, but let's just say it's a long and winding road that Abraham takes, and until we arrive at chapter 15, which is our reading for today. In chapter 15, there's 10 years, basically, between chapter 12 and chapter 15. And chapter 15 finds Abraham, well, he's a little bit down, shall we say, because he's looking back over at what's happened over the last 10 years, and it's not really what he expected to have happen when he set out in faith with God. It reminds me a little bit of a sermon that I preached just before Christmas about Joseph, you know, as in Joseph and Mary Joseph. And if you were here at that time, if you weren't here, I'll give you a quick recap. I sort of have always wondered about Joseph because he's got a vision for his life. He's betrothed to be married to Mary, and he's probably excited about the future that they have planned together. And then they suddenly discover that Mary is pregnant. And Joseph doesn't really know what's going on, but he does know it wasn't him. And so as he's weighing up what to do about that, he kind of goes, oh, look, maybe we should just get separated on the quiet, so that no one gets put to shame or anything like that. But God says to him, no, don't divorce from Mary. This child that is in her is from God. It's God's son. You will call him Jesus. He is the Messiah, the Christ, and he will save people from their sins. Now, Joseph believes God. And he trusts in this promise. And so he takes Mary and they go, you know, the whole nativity journey, they go to Nazareth. You know the story. So they go to Nazareth and all the rest of it. And in a couple of the Gospels, you do see a little bit of Jesus' early childhood and you see the role that Joseph plays in it. But most of the Gospels, of course, are about Jesus' ministry, which starts around about the age of 30. And along the way in Jesus' ministry, Mary pops up every now and then. But we don't see Joseph. And so I think from that we can probably infer that Joseph died before he got to see God's promise in Jesus fulfilled. Now, part of me just always goes, when I thought about that, when that kind of penny dropped, I thought, I wonder how Joseph felt, say, on his deathbed. You know, he's seen a few glimpses of God's promise breaking through, and I wonder if he's lying there going, I didn't get to see the fullness of God's promise, but that's okay. I'm trusting God. It's going to work out in the future. It's great. It's going to be great. It's just a bit sad that I don't get to see it. Or, I wonder if he died feeling disappointed, wondering kind of what was that all about. Saw glimpses of God breaking through, but haven't seen the fulfillment of God's promise myself. I wonder if you've ever experienced that vulnerability that comes when you feel disappointed with God. You know, when you feel like God has promised you something or put a vision in front of you, and usually it's big, you know, and you kind of go, oh, that would be amazing. And you kind of trust God with it, and you sort of step out in faith on whatever journey you feel like you're being led on. But for some for some reason, it doesn't quite feel like that promise has been fulfilled. Or at least maybe not yet. And what do you do with that in the meantime? That sense of vulnerability. That sense of disappointment where you've trusted God deeply and you've stepped out in faith and you're yet to see the promise fulfilled. Well, that's kind of the space that Abram's in today when we're reading about in chapter 15 here. As you heard, God comes to him and says, "Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." And I'm just going to paraphrase my way through here on the BJFAV version of the Bible. It's the Ben Johnson Frow authorized version. It bears passing resemblance to what you might have in the pews in front of you. But it's basically this. He goes, "Wow, thanks, God. That's wonderful. Yes, that's great. Just wondering what's happened the last 10 years, because I sort of felt like there was this promise that you were going to make us into a great nation, and Sari and I don't even have one child yet, let alone many children, and we're not getting any younger. And, you know, I guess it's going to be kind of okay, because I've got this servant, and I guess he's a trustworthy servant, and I guess my estate can just pass to him. It's going to be all right, but, you know, it's just not really what I imagined it would be when I stepped out in faith because I felt you were calling me to a promise." And at that point, God goes, "Right, okay. Abram, come and step outside the tent with me for a moment." And I kind of like this phrase because one of the ways in which I think we deal with disappointment in our lives is we kind of try and rationalize it a little bit. You know, we develop, I guess, what you could call in the tent thinking. You might have had a big picture or a big view or a big vision of what you hoped was going to happen. You can't quite see it happening. So you kind of just look around your tent and you go, okay, that's what I thought was going to happen, but this is the reality I've got. How do I make the most of the reality that I've got? And then we kind of rationalize it in some way. Oh, maybe I didn't quite hear properly, or maybe it could work out like this. Or, you know, in Abram's case, it's like, it's not looking like I thought it was going to look like, but that's okay. Maybe my estate will pass to my servant, who's a great guy. That's going to be all right. It's going to work out okay. That's not what I thought it was going to be. But it's okay. But God says to Abram, step outside of the tent. And so he leads him outside the tent. So Abram's outside the tent and he goes, look up. So Abram looks up. And I can just imagine, can't you? You can imagine the desert night sky, you know, black, inky black, and just the splay of stars thrown across it and how many there would be. And God says, can you count the stars for me? And Abram goes, no, I can't. They're far more numerous than I could ever imagine. And God goes, great. That is how it's going to be with your descendants. And now it's Abram's turn to go, huh, okay. And it says that Abram believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And this word believed is not just like a mental assent, like, okay, I think that will happen. The root word of that in Hebrew is amen, which is, of course, where we get the phrase amen from when we're doing our prayer. But what it means, it's not just a mental assent, but it's actually having the vulnerability to trust our hearts to it in faith. And more than that, it's making a choice to act like it's true. To not just believe it in our heads, or just try and trust God with our hearts, but to begin to act like it's true. Even when we haven't quite seen it, even when we don't quite know where God is leading us. I'm going to jump quickly through the gospel reading because the gospel reading made me laugh somewhat, so I just had to share my weird sense of humour with you slightly. So 2,000 years on from Abram, we have Jesus. And by this time, the promise of God to Abram is being fulfilled, isn't it? There is, if you know the story, they do end up having a child. This whole kind of people come out and it becomes the Jewish people. And here they are expectant for their Messiah and all the rest of it. And so 2,000 years later, we can go, if we could go back to Abram, it's going to be all right, mate. Check this out 2,000 years later. So here we have God's people waiting for the Messiah. And so oftentimes during the gospel, it's funny, Jesus pops up and goes like, essentially like in this one, so you're waiting for the Messiah, are you? Yes, we are. And Jesus is like, and they don't get it. So he's like, are you ready for the Messiah? Are you ready? Are you ready? Yes, we are. Are you sure you're ready? Are you ready to receive the Messiah? Yes, we are definitely, well, not those guys over there, but I'm definitely ready to receive the Messiah. I've been waiting for this my whole life long. And Jesus is just like, oh, come on. I'm right here. Come on. You know, so I had this kind of image of Jesus doing that along the way in our gospel reading today when asking, are we ready? Like if God was to fulfill that promise right in front of us today, would we be ready? What might God be calling us to do? How would we be living like we believe it's true? I want to flick on a little bit because I promised you I'd get through the entire Bible in 15 minutes. So I just want to forge on ahead a little bit because a part of it, I just think if Abram could see 2,000 years in the future and see what his people have become, his descendants have become, he would have been like, oh my goodness, that's so awesome what God has done. But what he couldn't have imagined, I don't think, is what comes through that, the continuing fulfillment of God's promise, not just to create this blessed nation, but a nation that would be blessed through him, that would go on and bless the nations. Because we see, don't we, that after Jesus, the gospel starts to spread out through the world. And Gentiles, like people who aren't even descended from Abram, start to come to faith. And Paul is writing to the church in Galatia, and he writes this to them in chapter 3, verse 6. He says to them, consider Abraham. He believed God, not just mental assent, but he trusted God, put his faith in God, and he acted like what God was calling him to was going to happen. What God was calling him to was going to happen. So he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, God said to Abraham. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Now I just think if Abraham could have seen that, he would have been like, whoa, that's crazy. Not just my own descendants, but others as well are going to start to be blessed and drawn into the story of God. I just think Abram would have been like, wow, I couldn't have even imagined that. But then I started like thinking even more. I just thought, so that's 2,000 years after Abram, you have Jesus and you have the spread of the church and the Gentiles coming to faith. Well, 2,000 years after Jesus, here we are on the other side of the world. Descendants of Abraham, if you like, through faith, trusting God, gathering here because we believe. Because we have faith. And because we have faith, we're living like it's true. We're gathering in God's presence today. And a part of me just 4,000 years later wants to go back to Abram going, oh, it's going to be all right, mate. It's going to be all right. You can't even imagine how this promise is going to be fulfilled 4,000 years later. Your own descendants, the blessing of those who aren't even blood related to you out into the nations and the whole globe, right to literally the other side of the earth, where there will be people gathering in faith who are in faith descendants of Abraham. So I just love the flow of that story. But then, of course, where does that leave us? If we're sitting with disappointment with God today. How might we take those things which we have held deep in our hearts, that we feel like God has promised to us, that we've stepped out for in faith, but maybe we've experienced the vulnerability of disappointment? I just wonder if it encourages us to be brave enough. You know, like, sometimes when we're disappointed, we just kind of park it somewhere. We don't know how it's going to work out. It didn't work out how imagined, so we just parked it. But I wonder if we might be courageous enough today to bring it out before God again and go, like Abram, God, I felt like this was going to happen, and it doesn't look like it did, and I don't know what to do with that. Or God, I felt like you promised something to me, and I'm experiencing this disappointment about it now, and I just want to be vulnerable and express that to you, God. And I wondered if, and I wonder if we do that, if we might be open to the idea that God might invite us to step out of the tent and look up once more. And as we do, whether God might invite us to take the next step in faith and begin to live again like the promises of God to us are true. And I don't know where that vision ends or where it might lead you, and I don't want you to go out there and do anything crazy, but I do wonder if there might be a first step with God that we could all take today. My wife's favourite quote is by a South American theologian whose name always eludes me. I'm going to really have to Google him again someday. But it's a beautiful quote that I've held really close to my own heart at times of disappointment. And it's this: God very rarely gives us the view to the horizon. Remember, God invited Abram on a journey of faith that he would lead him to a place that he did not yet know. God very rarely gives us the view to the horizon. Instead, Scripture says his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, illuminating the next step. And if we are prepared to step out in faith, it illuminates the next step. And the next step. And the next step. Until we arrive at the place that God has always intended for us. Can I just ask the worship team to come? And I'm going to ask you to stand in a moment. But before we do, I just wonder if we might review with God some of the things that we feel God's spoken into our lives, some of the promises we've heard, the dreams we've had, maybe a vision that has been placed upon our hearts that we've really put a lot of our trust and faith in. And then I wonder if today too we might be open to God giving us the next step. Maybe not the view to the horizon, but maybe what the next step is so we can continue to believe and live like it's true. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you with vulnerability today. We thank you for your word and for the way in which you speak your life into our lives. And today, in vulnerability, we bring before you the things that we have hoped for, the dreams that we have, the promises that we believe have been spoken into our lives, but perhaps haven't been fulfilled fully in the way that we hoped for. I just want to pause. I feel like there is some grief that needs to be healed, so we'll just let God do that now. Come, Holy Spirit. Would you bind up the brokenhearted? Would you bring healing and peace to the places of our deepest wounds? Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, as we bring those dreams vulnerably before you once more. I pray that you speak hope to each of us again. Pray that you speak life to each of us again. I pray that you show us how we might take the next step in faith. Lord, would you be gracious to us, binding up our hurts, forgiving our failures, leading us into hope once more. Lord, and as we feel you at work here now, pray that you ignite in us a deep sense of faith and the courage to take the first step with you. And I pray that as we do, your word would be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, leading and guiding us into the places that you have planned for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand and respond in worship?
I'll never be more glad.